All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about architectural trade-offs.
Interesting.
We've got a really fascinating source for this one, an excerpt from a book all about software architecture by Mark Richards.
Okay.
And the way that he kicks it off is by telling this historical story about the sinking of the Vasa ship.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of this?
I have, yeah, the Vasa ship.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, very interesting.
So it's like the 1620s in Sweden.
Okay.
And they're like at war with Poland.
Uh-huh.
And the king of Sweden has this grand vision for this like warship.
Okay.
He wants it to be the most powerful thing anybody has ever seen.
Makes sense.
So he's telling the shipbuilders he wants this thing to be huge. He wants tons and tons of cannons on it.
Wow.
He wants it to be able to carry troops.
I'm ambitious.
And he wants it fast and cheap.
So classic.
And you can probably already see where this is going.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
This is exactly the type of thing that we deal with all the time in software.
Absolutely. It's like every client meeting ever, right? Yes.
You want high performance.
Yep.
You want high availability. You need top-notch security. And oh, by the way, can you make it super abstract and flexible too?
Yeah, and do it all quick and cheap.
Exactly. And it's like you want to tell them, you know, you can't have it all, but...
Yeah, right.
Well, sometimes you have to.
But that's what's so fascinating about this Vasa ship story. So they go and they actually build this ship based on the king's, you know, crazy demands.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is so top heavy because they put so many cannons on it
uh-huh.
that it literally sinks on its maiden voyage.
Wow.
It goes like 1,500 meters or something before it just completely capsizes and sinks.
That's incredible. I mean, it really drives home the point, though.
Yeah.
Just trying to satisfy every single requirement without thinking about the trade-offs.
Right.
It's a recipe for disaster. You end up with a system that's unbalanced and ultimately fails.
So how does this like translate into software? Like how would we see this play out in a more modern context?
Well, let's take SOA, for example, service-oriented architecture.
It's a very popular approach, but it comes with its own set of trade-offs.
Right.
Let's say you're building an e-commerce platform using SOA and you want it to be really scalable.
Right.
So it can handle, you know, huge spikes in traffic during big sales events.
Okay.
That's a great goal, but each service call you make adds a little bit of latency.
Right.
So you have to find that sweet spot between scalability and responsiveness.
You're saying you can't just have like infinite scalability and super fast response time.
Right. It's a balancing act. You could try to make SOA perform as fast as a simpler point-to-point architecture, but you might end up sacrificing the very advantages that SOA offers, like flexibility and maintainability.
So it's almost like, you know those Italian restaurants that try to be everything to everyone?
Yes.
They've got pizza and pasta and burgers and tacos, and you're like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
What are you even good at?
Yeah, you can't be the best at everything. You end up with a confused and, frankly, mediocre menu.
So how do we avoid falling into that trap?
Well, luckily, there are some strategies that architects use to navigate these trade-offs.
Okay.
Two commonly used methods are ATAM, which stands for Architecture Trade-Off Analysis Method.
Okay.
And CBAM, which is Cost-Benefit Analysis Method.
Hmm. Those sound interesting. Tell me more.
Sure. So ATAM, it's all about getting everyone involved, stakeholders, architects, developers,
mm-hmm.
and creating a sort of risk map of the architectural choices you're making.
Okay.
You ask questions like, what are the potential downsides of this approach? Where are the dependencies? What could go wrong?
It's like a proactive risk assessment.
Exactly. It's about transparency, making sure everyone understands the trade-offs involved.
Okay. And what about this CBAM thing?
So CBAM is more focused on the numbers.
Gotcha.
It helps you weigh the costs and benefits of different architectural options.
Okay.
So you might look at how much will it cost to implement this option versus that option?
Uh-huh.
And what are the potential benefits in terms of performance, scalability, maintainability?
So it's about making data-driven decisions.
Right. It helps you avoid making choices based on gut feeling or assumptions.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So where can our listeners go if they want to learn more about these ATAM and CBAM methods?
The Software Engineering Institute, or SEI, has some great resources on their website. We can put the links in the show notes.
Perfect. So folks, be sure to check those out if you want to dive deeper into these trade-off analysis techniques.
Definitely.
All right. So to wrap things up, I think the big takeaway here is that in software architecture, just like in 17th century shipbuilding,
yeah,
you can't always have it all. Trying to cram in every feature and meet every demand without considering the consequences.
Right.
It's a recipe for a system that's going to sink under its own weight.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that the trade-offs are inevitable And using tools like ATAM and CBAM to navigate those trade-offs,
Mm-hmm.
that's crucial for building successful and sustainable systems.
Couldn't agree more.
It really leaves you with something to think about, doesn't it?
It does.
What are some trade-offs that you've encountered in your own projects, maybe even outside of software? And how did you handle them? It's definitely food for thought.
It is.
Because just like the Vasa, sometimes trying to have it all can lead to, well, you know, disaster.
You got it.
All right. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
See you.